me start by saying on behalf of Trish and myself, thank you for having us here this morning. I'm reading from the New King James translation, 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 8. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites in their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, it is our earnest and sincere prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be found both pleasing and appropriate in your sight. Amen. In my role as the local hospice chaplain, I met a new patient a few weeks ago who told me during our brief visit that he had been born again. Because his hospice nurse was there and in the middle of her assessment, I offered to come back another time. He told me he would like that, adding, I want to talk to you. We prayed together before I left, and his wife agreed I should return in a few days after Thanksgiving. Well, he died before we could visit again. But as it turned out, I was asked to officiate his funeral service. I ended up in his home again, spending time with his wife and younger brother, getting an idea of what they would like the service to look like. They spoke of full military honors and a slideshow. And when I asked if there was a special song or Bible passage to consider, the brother said, yes. I found these words on his phone. There was no reference, but just this promise. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I'll admit, this is not a verse that I've memorized, and neither was I specifically familiar with it. And it took us a few minutes to locate it in Deuteronomy. But at his funeral, I was able to share a message of assurance and hope, which had been so important to this man who had been born again. It was just a couple of weeks before that that Ivan extended the invitation to be with you here this morning and shared these words in his email. I always find that something that wraps up the year or reminds us of God's faithfulness in the previous year, looking forward in hope for the future, helps us be reminded of his presence. Well, I was humbled and grateful for my new acquaintance with this promise of Moses to Joshua and all of the Israelites. It became clear that this passage might work really well to accomplish what Ivan had charged me with. As we sit here this morning, between last year or yesterday and next year, or tomorrow, if you will, we find ourselves in his presence today. Our lesson this morning is set on the plains of Moab. After 40 years in the desert, and just before Israel crosses the river into God's promised land, we find Moses preaching to all of Israel, after which he will leave his pulpit, climb a mountain, and die. This chapter is a link between sunset and sunrise. God buries his workers, but carries on his work. None are indispensable. Moses is succeeded by Joshua, Stephen by Paul. The Bible tells us that the grass withereth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Deuteronomy is the last book of the law and consists of a series of sermons preached to all of Israel on the plains of Moab, again, just across the river from their promised land. It's a reaffirmation of the covenant between God and the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy, the legal tradition of the book of Exodus is not just repeated, but reinterpreted in contemporary terms. So the promises and demands of the covenant were brought near to a new generation of worshiping Israelites. This ceremonial farewell address of Moses to the Israelite assembly on the plains of Moab served as the renewal of God's covenant, originally established at Sinai. Deuteronomy actually means second law in Greek, and it's deeply concerned with persuading Israel what to do and how to do it and why it ought to be done. The Torah message summarized in the sermons of Deuteronomy does not much teach what to believe, but is the lesson that choices have consequences, that it's what we do that matters. Moses had entered the biblical story of salvation as a baby boy born in Egypt and under a death threat. Now, 120 years later, he preaches this immense sermon and dies, still brimming with words and life. And his messages followed the pattern established in Exodus. The people were reminded of what God had done to rescue them. His mighty acts were recalled, as well as the weakness and helplessness of a pitiful people, which was contrasted to the mercy and goodness of Yahweh. Israel was challenged to be a people for his own possession, an instrument of his purpose, which is the redemption of the nations. Warnings and exhortations were given, along with the solemn duty of keeping the divine law, of being set apart for holy. And finally, the promise of blessings and rest were spoken of, which were to happen in their own land, which was flowing with milk and honey. The plains were the last stop on their 40-year journey from Egyptian slavery to the promised land of freedom. It was Eugene Peterson, in his introduction to the book of Deuteronomy, this series of sermons, who suggested that the preaching event is intended to take God's words, both written and spoken, along with the human experience, both ancestral and personal, and then reproduce the words and experience as a single event right now in the present moment. He continues, "No word that God has spoken is a mere literary artifact to be studied. Likewise, no human experience is dead history, merely to be regretted or admired." In his sermon, Moses combined the complete range of human experience and brought it to life with salvation by the full revelation of God's love here and now. So, in the light of God's faithfulness last year, in hearing his promise to go before us into next year, I'd like to reflect for a moment on why humans sometimes seem to default toward fear and discouragement, and consider what it is that we might need strength and courage for today. Moses' words of encouragement were to a people standing in the present today, preparing to go forth into their tomorrow, where they were to meet unknown dangers and opposing forces. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be charged. Because the Lord your God goes with you. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. You may have heard the story of a 5-year-old boy who was in the kitchen with his mother as she was making supper. She asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go in alone. "It's dark in there and I'm scared," he said. She asked him again and he persisted. Well, finally she said, "It's okay. Jesus will be with you in there." Well, the boy walked to the pantry door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside and saw that, sure enough, it was pitch black. He started to shut the door when an idea came to him. He spoke into the darkness, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup?" I never know. It was just too cute. Even if you've heard it, I was going to share it. Strength and courage are inseparable. And the encouragement to be strong is nearly equivalent to the injunction to be courageous. To be strong can only mean rally the strength you have. And to be courageous means concentrate that strength against danger or difficulty. Courage then can be said, described as strong-heartedness. Now, historically, the heart has been understood to be the innermost center of a human being. It is the rallying ground, if you will, of the forces of moral humanhood. We say of someone who can't seem to rally his resources of strength and courage that he is discouraged, disheartened, has lost heart. So we're talking then about a rational rather than an animal quality. Courage is a virtue which involves a rational, self-determined effort in confronting the contradictions of life. William Tecumseh Sherman was a Northern general during the Civil War, and he's been quoted as saying, "I would define true courage to be a perfect sensibility of the measure of danger and a mental willingness to endure it." Courage is a quality of character rather than a condition of nerve or muscle. As such, courage is primarily the courage of a rational faith. It's the courage of a rational moral conviction. To a rational faith, conviction, and devotion, there should be added a rational hope as the crown and completion of a strong and courageous Christian life. Deuteronomy 31:8 is an antidote to fear. Fear not, because one, he's able to help us. God will not fail us in adversity or prosperity. He'll guard us against both an immediate danger and the seductive influences of others. And secondly, he's not just able, but he's also willing. And thirdly, he's promised to help us. Yesterday, Yahweh sent Christ, the Messiah, to successfully fight the war with sin and death for his people, all of those who believe and profess a faith. And Jesus has gone before us and prepared a place for our tomorrow. Today, God, the Holy Spirit, is present to guide and direct us, to assist and strengthen, to protect and defend, to give us success. As he was walking down the street, a man saw a black cat cross the road. He became worried that he was going to have some bad luck that day. He came across a friend and asked what he thought might happen because of the black cat he had seen that morning. His friend said, "That depends on whether you're a rat or not." As long as we know who we are in Christ, we have no reason to fear. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. May it be so. Amen.